Like a NASCAR racer ready to start the race, Dr. Don is so excited to go to this passage in Matthew for today's message. Yes, we're continuing in the message series called What Angels Do, but this passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, is something, well, I'll let Dr. Don tell you about it, but he's excited to share God's Word with us today on The Encouraging Word. We're excited to share with you as well. Would you like to have us pray with you or for you? We're connecting online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. While you're there, sign up for the daily email from Dr. Don. Easy to do right there online at tewonline.org, or give us a call. Know that we're always ready to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilson.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. This is a passage, a verse that I have been waiting to speak about angels for a long, long time. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. This is the sixth day in this mini-series on angels, and God's Word has a wonderful way of announcing what God wants us to dwell on and to speak on. And so we have pitched our camp on the subject of angels, and we're in the sixth part of this subject. What is it exactly that angels do? And I'm on the 10th aspect of that, and if you're wondering about 1 through 9, I don't have time to go through them again this morning, but you certainly can call and get the tapes, and we would love to be able to send those to you if you call our church office. What is it exactly that angels do? I want to read to you Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Now, you're going to really need to hold on. Fasten your seatbelts. Jesus said, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones." Now, I want you to just stop right there in the middle, and if you would just look at me for a moment. That little chap that I was holding a moment ago, that's who Jesus had in mind. And what we're going to notice here is that God is going to say something very special to our hearts. Number one, about little ones, infants, about children. And about God's guardianship over our children. One of the questions that comes up from time to time, and I'm sure that you've asked it, I certainly have, is what about our little ones? What about babies? Do they go to heaven? What about aborted babies? What about all these abortions, this mass murder that's going on in America at the moment? What about all the babies that are ripped out of mothers' wombs? Give it all kinds of names you ever want. It's still murder. What about all those babies? Do they go to heaven? I mean, they didn't even have a chance to put their 2 feet on this earth. What about a baby that is stillborn? What about a baby that lives for a while and sadly passes away? Where's my baby today? God tells us something about this. I'm going to tell you, I don't have a doubt in my mind that every baby goes instantaneously into the presence of the Lord Jesus. This is one of those passages that confirms that, and I'm going to show you why. You ready for this? Bible says here, this is Jesus speaking, "See to it that you do not look down," and that word "to look down" literally means do not develop a disdain for or write them off the books of humanity. Don't discount littleness. Because actually God is going to say, if you want to know the truth, God says, those little ones have a very special and unique relationship with me. And I'm going to show you why and how. He says here in the second part, he says, because I want to tell you something, that their angels, whose angels? These little ones' angels. Now, okay, you've got to hold on a minute here again, folks. That is in the possessive case. Now listen, young people, watch me. What does it mean if something is in the possessive case? It means it belongs to, it's connected to, there's an ownership there. It's possessive case. And what God is saying here, listen to this, God is saying to us, he says, don't you ever worry about little ones, about infants and about children, because every one of them have their guardian angels, and those guardian angels are connected into their hearts just the same way as the angels themselves are connected into the heart of God. Wow! Now watch this for a minute. Let's put all of this in context. See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels, possessive case, their ownership belonging to their connectedness with angels, where in heaven always see the face of my Father which is in heaven. And what Jesus is saying here is that not only are little ones connected into me by virtue of my angels, but they are permanently and eternally connected into me because of my angels. Little ones who have not had an opportunity to give their hearts to Jesus Christ, we call that the age of accountability. When the age of accountability arrives, there's a line that's drawn. We'll talk about that at another time. I want to speak to you about the tenth thing that angels do today, and I'll probably only do that. I may get on to the 11th point, I don't know. Angels guard us. They guard us. Now, don't lose Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, but I do want you to turn to Acts chapter 27. Just very quickly, turn to Acts chapter 27. Everybody turn there. I want you to see this for yourself. Acts chapter 27. Now, my friends, in Acts chapter 27, Paul the apostle, this is right near the end of his life, and he is sailing to Rome. Now, let's just establish some things here. All right? The boats and ships that Paul sailed in during Paul's time were not anything near what the Titanic looked like, and maybe just as well. I mean, they were made out of wood, they were stuck together, they were very primitive things. Those old ships that they sailed in, I mean, they were like big old canoes stuck together. I mean, they were flimsy stuff. I mean, this was serious stuff riding around in one of these ships. And if winds came up, shipwrecks in those days were very frequent. Literally thousands upon thousands of sailors in those early days lost their lives. And sometimes historians tell us that these ships that they sailed in would be on a calm day and they'd just suddenly fall apart. They didn't even have to have a storm. They just said, I think I'll fall apart today, and they fell apart. I mean, you're just riding along, having a wonderful time, minding your own business, and kaboom, just falls apart. Just comes apart. They're made of wood. They were flimsy. They tried to make them as sturdy as they could, and for the most part in their day and age, they did a good job. But to travel by sea in Paul's day and age was a tremendous challenge. A lot of fear associated with it. Bravery was the name of the game for sailors in those days. And here they are, they're in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, they're sailing toward Rome, and all of a sudden a storm comes up, and when a storm came up, let me tell you folks, those people knew they were in trouble. So look what happens here in verse 21 of Acts 27. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice to sail, not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. I can just see all those sailors standing up saying, oh, thank you very much. Give us another sermon here, Reverend. You know, you're telling us we shouldn't have done it and we should have taken your advice. Well, guess what? We're in this boat and we're about to be wrecked, and we know nobody survives shipwrecks in boats like these. Verse 22, Paul says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. How did he know that? Only your ship will be destroyed. How did Paul know that? Well, look at the next verse. He says in verse 23, last night an angel... Isn't that amazing? Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, Paul, do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as the angel told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. I think Paul, can you just see this, folks? One of the earliest sermons, standing up in the boat, he says, all right, I'm going to preach. You want the good news or the bad news? And they all say, good news, please, Paul, good news. He says, we're not going to lose our lives. Everybody's going to be safe. I want to tell you that. The angel of God came to me, told me that, and they all go, whew, oh, that's great, man. Oh, wow, wow. Yes, yes, yes. They were high-fiving. Now here's the bad news. We're all going to be shipwrecked, though. You see, folks, there is something about God's guardianship of us by virtue of his angels when and if he chooses to do so. The Bible tells us this most distinctly. Now, what this does, it says three things to us about the guardianship of angels. Three things. Number one, it means that angels ride sidecar with us. Now all hold on. Angels ride sidecar with us. Now before I show you anything, I want you to listen to this. The Holy Spirit has the capacity to indwell us. That's what he does. He lives in us. If I could say this most respectfully this morning, you want to see the Holy Spirit? Look at me right now. Not because of me, but because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. The Bible says I am a living, walking representation of Christ in me. An angel cannot dwell in you. He doesn't have that power or authority or capacity.
Wow, forgive the interruption. What a powerful message series. You're in the middle of really a 7 or 8 part series on angels. And if you've missed part of it, there's an easy way to catch up. You can do it online at our website, tewonline.org. These audio podcast broadcasts and however you might be listening to it right now, downloads, are all available online at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, you could sign up for the podcast and hear today's and tomorrow's as it kind of eases out, or you can go back and start at the beginning. All the details of how to sign up for your podcast daily or to get connected with even hard copies of today's message are on our website at tewonline.org. You'll also find a phone number there. It's 866-899-WORD. Relatively easy to remember, 866-899-WORD. The last numbers are 9673. And that number will connect you with one of us 24 hours a day who would love to connect you with great resources, yes, but mostly we'd love to pray with you and for you. Just know that we're here for you. Again, that's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
The thing you don't know about my dad, and I've been waiting for years to tell you this, is that my dad raced motorbikes. And he raced them in a big way, and he won many, many, many races. He was a champion motorbike racer in the early days. This is back there in the 50s when my father was racing motorbikes. And that's my dad in the captain's seat there on his Norton. And he is racing. He's right near the end of a race. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it, but what you don't see after that picture is that was just the beginning of one horrible wreck that my dad was in. Broke his collarbone and they got beaten up something bad. Now show me the next one, all right? There you can see, that is John D. Wilton, pastor, preacher, and dad of Don. Right there in the captain's chair, riding his Norton in a motorbike race. Now, the gentleman leaning over the back seat, folks, is not needing to go to the bathroom real badly. That man is riding, are you ready for this? Sidecar. And some of you who know about sidecar motorbike racing, it's a highly specialized form of racing. And that man who became one of my father's good friends, and they raced for many years, they were a team together and they won many, many races together. That man leaning over the back seat of my father's motorbike, his Norton, which is a British bike, as he was leaning over, his function is not to drive the machine. My daddy's driving it. My dad's the captain there. He's the one who's driving it. He's got the throttle. He's in control. It's his outfit. But the man who rides sidecar has a very special responsibility. He is placed there to keep balance, to keep focus, to keep them on the road, to help them make turns, to help them, God willing, not to get into a wreck. Show me the next one. All right, have a look at this. Now you get a good picture of a sidecar. All right, and there was an article about him above that. Any of you want to see these, you can come and look at my albums. They're wonderful. I love them. But that's Dad. There you can see him riding the motorbike. The gentleman hanging over the edge for dear life is riding sidecar. Remember, he's not in control of that machine. He's not working the throttle. He has no power over those brakes. In fact, it's not up to him. It's not his outfit. It's Dad's. But the man riding sidecar is very, very critical in order for Dad and his team to win that race. Now watch what the Bible says. The Bible says that angels, if God so chooses, angels ride sidecar with us. Folks, listen to me. An angel will never indwell you. An angel will never control your throttle. An angel is not allowed to, is not permitted to sit in the captain's chair. Because that captain's chair belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. An angel, in fact, I want to just tell you this as a matter of interest, in the articles that I've got of Dad's racing in all those years, you want me to tell you something unfair, folks? Hardly ever talks about the poor lad that rode sidecar. It was always John Wilton won, and John Wilton won, and John Wilton won. And this poor fellow who did all the blood, sweat, and tears, he hardly ever featured. I mean, there was hardly even an honorable mention of him. That's what God does, if he so chooses, whenever he chooses, with his angels. Angels ride sidecar with us. God, in his infinite mercy, says to us that I am dispatching and I am assigning my guardian angels who are connected into the very face of God. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible says no one can look upon the face of God and live, right? It tells you something special about angels. Are you telling me, Lord, are you telling me that my little ones have been connected into the face of God by virtue of his angels? Angels ride sidecar with us. Number two, angels keep sight of us. We're dealing here with the fact that angels guard us. Angels keep sight of us. I remember when our children were just little, and when they were just little lads, and Karen, my wife, would come to me and she would say to me, "Now look, I want you to get that swing set that we just bought at Sears, and I want you to put it in the backyard for our children. And I want Shelley and Rob and Greg to be able to go, and I want them to be able to play and have a lot of fun, but I got a lot of work to do." You know, you might find this with a few moms. Moms just don't have time to just kind of go and sit outside and have a good cup of tea and scones and clotted cream from Scotland with a blob of jam on it and twiddle their fingers and do nothing but look at kids on swings all day. So mom would say to us in our home, "Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to put that swing set in the backyard, and I want you to just, move it a little bit this way." Okay, now, that's perfect, because as mom, I can still be here in my home. I can be in the kitchen. I can be preparing meals. I can be answering the telephone. I can do whatever I need to do as a mom in the home. But while I am doing all these things, I don't ever want to lose sight of my children. Angels, listen to this, folks. Angels keep sight of us. God tells us in His Word that His angels are watching over us. They're not necessarily next to us. God doesn't send angels down for every circumstance. In fact, God only does these things if God wants to do them, and God doesn't have to do anything if He doesn't. And sometimes God works with His angels alongside the incredible, overwhelming presence of His Holy Spirit. By the way, the Spirit of God puts angels to shame. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is God. Angels are not. And so God tells us, He says, listen, I will, if I so choose, I'm going to not only ride sidecar with you by virtue of the presence of my angels, but I want you to know that one of their functions is to just keep you in sight. Folks, listen to me. God is watching you and me. Sometimes you may be going through a medical crisis now. God's watching you, my brother. You may be going through a crisis with one of your children. God's watching. He's got you in sight. You may be wondering what's going on in America today. God hasn't forgotten us. He's got us in sight. God's watching. He hasn't gone away. You may be facing some untoward circumstance that nobody else knows. God's watching. He's got you in sight. In fact, He puts it like this. He says, I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. All right, number three. Angels settle us down. Now, I love this. Angels settle us down. This passage here about Paul, you know, I might have said by mistake that I would love to have been there to see this. Nope, I wouldn't have. I tell you, folks, some people say, boy, the good old days were like this and the good old days were like that. I tell you, I don't think these were good old days. I mean, these guys had a miserable time, and it was a challenge in life, and they faced many, many struggles. And one can only just imagine. Well, he says here, the Bible tells us these men were so afraid. They were petrified. Isn't it amazing that even in the Christmas story, did you notice, guys? In the Christmas story, when God was telling the shepherds about everything going on and the angels came down, the Bible says they were sore afraid. So it's amazing how the guardianship of angels seems to pop up when we need courage, when we need to be overcomers, when we need strength. God, in a sense, guards us. He puts a hedge of protection around about us, and He assures us through His angels if He so chooses. Angels settle us down. These men were beside themselves. Angels soothe our fears. And here Paul says, he says, listen, do not be afraid. He turns to the men and he says, listen, an angel came down and said to me, take courage. What's he doing? He's settling us down. I tell you, folks, even in America today, that's what God says to my own heart. He says, listen, Don Wilton, just settle down. Just know who you belong to. You belong to me. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got everything under control. I haven't changed my mind. Just settle down. Isn't He a wonderful God? Now, I'm going to ask you this question today. Do you know Him? Is there anybody today worshiping the Lord here with us today that you don't know this Lord? Won't you give your life to Him? Well, won't you just turn your life over to Him? Here's how you do it. You tell the Lord, you accept the fact that you're a sinner. Say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I was born in sin. Second of all, you confess that sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And third of all, you trust in Him by faith. You receive Jesus Christ into your heart by faith. And faith means that you don't necessarily understand all these things about God. but you're willing to take him at his word. That's what it means.
What a powerful message from the pastor, and what a powerful realization. Perhaps you are at that aha moment right now of realizing, I don't have to have it all together. Come to Jesus just as you are. Questions, concerns, confusion, let God sort it out. Don't feel like, I think it's a tool of the enemy that says, oh, you got to get yourself cleaned up before you can come to church or come to God. No, he's ready to receive you just as you are right now. As a matter of fact, before we get away, our closing thoughts are next from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just prayed to receive Christ with Dr. Don moments ago, or maybe you prayed to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, welcome to the family of God. We're excited to see what God's going to do next. As Dr. Don would say, really do believe the best is yet to be. We also realize that as we grow, either in a rededicated faith to Christ or a brand new faith, that there are resources that we can put in your hands that will help you grow. All you need to do is call and ask for them at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day, we'd love to connect you with those resources. We'd also love to just talk with you, listen to you, pray with you. Know that we're here. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And all this month of July, there's a unique kind of, it's a bonus book we're making available. Here's Liz with all the details on how you can get your copy.
This month at The Encouraging Word, we would like to spotlight a new ministry resource to help you fight the heart and soul of your millennial child. Abandoned Faith, Why Millennials Are Walking Away and How You Can Lead Them Home is a powerful book by Alex McFarland and Jason Jimenez. His book will provide insights, answers, and real-life solutions for parents of millennials living in challenging times. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Abandoned Faith for your gift of $20 and support of The Encouraging Word today. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but I pray you've already signed up for the Daily Encouraging Word email online at tewonline.org. You can do it right now at tewonline.org. And you'll have great insight in your email box. This morning, Dr. Don was talking about an illustration where these experts took the fences down around the playground so the kids could be more free, but it turns out the boundaries were necessary for them to really feel safe and ready to express themselves. There are boundaries that need to be in our lives, and God's Word brings those to life. Again, that's just an example of what you'll get every day if you sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. You can do it online at tewonline.org. Get a hard copy sent to you or the email. It's online at tewonline.org. The Encouraging Word.